Welcome back to West Coast Mix and Bounce. I'm your co-host, Leslie Torres, with Bronna Marks. West Coast Mix and Bounce is brought to you by Sports Al Dente, your recipe for LA sports. If you love this podcast and love LA sports, then you need to go and check out sportsaldente.com right now. We are a Los Angeles player-centric media platform, and our passion is to feature the great players and teams of LA. We are also fully dedicated to giving expert weekly and daily advice in the world of fantasy football. We offer three different affordable membership packages, monthly, yearly, and lifetime. So when you go to subscribe, make sure to use the promo code WCMB and get 10% off any package. Make sure you connect with us once you subscribe. Semifinals are on their way. The games just started yesterday. But we're going to take it back just a little bit to Sunday when they had elimination games. The LA Sparks with the Storm, the Aces. Yeah, we're going to cover that before we get to yesterday's games. And then also towards the end of our podcast, we're going to be talking about the guys, how they're doing from the NBA, and how they finished off in the FIBA World Cup. But, you know, ladies first. So let's talk about the LA Sparks and the Storm. The Storm's elimination game. So the Sparks won, obviously, because they went on to the semifinals, 92-69. And I watched it. It was a really close game, pretty good. And then in the fourth quarter, the Sparks just, you know, took that big lead and they won. Chelsea Gray played very well. Candace Parker was also very strong. And their defense was really good. I think that Derek Fisher deserves much of the credit just because he was able to work with the lineup changes and he kind of found a way to find various groups of women to play together and mesh and work on both ends. So it looked really good on that game. They lost yesterday's game. Yeah. So Derek Fisher is going to have to be doing a lot more to get them to kind of be at that level of the Connecticut Suns. But
I think the competition is just different now. You know, the Storm weren't real competition for the Sparks. So they were able to show up. They were able to show out, you know, their players that don't really match up as far as, like, defensive strengths and weaknesses. There was no balance. So I feel like that score, 92-69, really defines that. But then, like you said, going into this next round, you know, Derek Fisher was doing so well, but now he has this loss on his mind, and it's because, you know, they moved on and now they're playing one of the best or better teams in the league. You know, now they have some real competition.
Yeah, and you would expect Seattle to be more competitive just because they are the defending NBA champs, but they've also had a lot of injuries, like we talked about in previous podcasts. There was no Sue Bird, there was no Breanna Stewart, so it was kind of up to the rest of the team to step up, which they kind of did, but towards the end, the Sparks were the Sparks, and they just proved to be too much for the Storm, but not enough for the Connecticut Suns yesterday.
Exactly. Like, and honestly, Connecticut still surprised me. They, you know, they really shook them up. They really kind of got to their core and just weren't able to move on from that. Like, their weaknesses, I guess we can, you know, cover the side of the West Coast before we hop to the other side in the playoffs. But, you know, moving on to play Connecticut, now you have 17 turnovers. You didn't have that in the first game. Yes. So that's their weakness. Now Connecticut knows their weakness. Their backcourt is not that strong with Raquana Williams and Chelsea Gray. You know, they only combined for 3 of 17 from the floor. Like, you rely on your big men to score the 3 or 5 points they attempt per game, you know? And if they're not making those little small percentages of shots, then you're not going to win. That's half your team, you know?
Yeah, they were playing very unlike themselves, very sloppy. Like you mentioned, so many turnovers. And the Suns, just, they used that to their advantage. They made 10 points off of that turnovers. And it was a 10-point game. So it's kind of like maybe it would have been less sloppy, would have gotten together. They would have come out with the win on game one. But It really came just down to the wire, I think, and it was more towards the end that they kind of just let the Suns get the win. And I say let because it was pretty close all throughout, and the Sparks would even have like runs where they would come back and be within one or be winning by one. So I just feel like they kind of just let it go. And also the Suns, Courtney Williams, I feel like she was the factor for that game. She took it upon herself to be that player that makes a difference, and it worked. They won.
Right. And it's so fun to see because on the other side of the court, you have Candace Parker and Nneka Ogumike, you know, really teaming up and working together and just mm-hmm. flowing on the court. So it's going to be interesting to see how I already believe this is going to go up to the last game. It's best 3 out of 5, I believe, or best. It's 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
So to go all the way to that third game is going to be exciting to see, like, how the toss-up happens.
It's going to be really good. Yeah.
You know.
I hope it goes at least so maybe I can go and watch one of the Sparks games here. So I'm hoping they pull it as long as they can. But, yeah, there was definitely good moments for the Sparks, but it was too sloppy for me. Yeah.
No, totally makes sense. So there's doubleheader tomorrow night, Thursday night. So it's going to be both sets of semifinals. So it's going to kind of see what happens then. But on the other side of the chart, you have the Aces. Mm-hmm. And the Aces have been doing some really crazy things.
Unheard of.
they've gathered so many highlights. They don't even need to go to the finals. They already have all the highlights to need for postseason.
Yes.
How are you feeling about the Aces? How do you feel?
I really enjoyed the game, the elimination game versus the Chicago Sky. They were so good. It came down to that one shot, and like that shot was going like seen everywhere on Twitter. It was huge. And like not even the shot, like the steal. I was just more impressed with the steal, because if you're the Sky, how are you gonna let that ball just like, how are you gonna pass it like that, like on crunch time? Yeah. Like, so I was
very reckless.
Yeah,
so it was so reckless, and it was cocky too, and that's what really came back mm-hmm. on them, because the last final minutes, honestly, I was shocked. I was like, the Aces are really gonna go out like this, the Chicago Sky? Now, granted, Chicago Sky is great, that's why they made it so far, and they're highly competitive team. Mm-hmm. You know, I give it all to them for putting their heart out on the court like that, because the Aces are not, you know, easy to play.
Nope.
So the fact that, you know, they stuck with them the entire game was great, fantastic. But in the last seconds, you cannot gloat about it. And that's exactly what Vandersloot did. She was trying to run down the clock, but she wasn't mm-hmm. trying to run it down efficiently. So she was going to run it down her own way. And that's when the Aces, you know, kind of woke up and they were like, oh no, we're going to take this in the last few seconds. You guys may be asleep, but we're still awake.
Yeah, no, I did not expect it. I was like already going to, you know, getting myself into my feelings. All right, they're going to lose. This sucks. Maybe elimination games aren't the way to go. And then that shot happens. I'm like, you know what? Mm-hmm. Elimination games are the way to go. This is exciting because it comes down to that moment. And like, you know, was it a bad shot? Maybe. Like, you know, she had somebody right open at the bottom. But you're not thinking. And she admitted it that, you know, she didn't really read the time correctly. And she just launched it. Yeah. But it was like, it's still a shot, and it's crazy because it went in.
Exactly. She just reacted. Like, I feel like, you know, she's not giving herself enough credit, and people in general aren't giving her enough credit. She was just like, when I hectic moment, I gotta shoot it. And she made it. You know, if she wouldn't have made it, then it would have been like, wow, she really
whole different
that
story.
Up for everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, then she would have been blamed. But, you know, she's not Sixth Woman of the Year for no reason.
Put some respect. So,
exactly. You got to put some respect on De'Erica Hamby's name, okay? So, I mean, that's a name we're going to hear for years now. Mm-hmm. I mean, that shot was incredible. They were comparing it to Teresa Witherspoon's clutch shot, and when she was on the Liberty almost, I mean, maybe like 15, 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just like, we're still hearing her name. Now she's being compared to Hamby. So it's just kind of like, all right, it's finally bearing the torch over to the next generation.
Yeah, her and the Aces will probably go down in history, because the Aces are just, also, like, the thing about them is that they're so young, and they're, you would think this kind of young team wouldn't go as far in the playoffs, and they're, like, up there, and they're playing well, and it's, like, you wouldn't expect this from, like, rookies and, like, two-year players. And so now the Aces go and face the Mystics, and they are kind of more like a veteran squad. And so I love that matchup. I love it.
Yeah, and they have so many cannons on their team. Like, they have Asia Wilson. She's getting a statue in front of her old school, South Carolina. Then you have Liz Cambridge, you know, came over from England, you know, and made this huge name for herself. I mean, she's an incredible woman, let alone a basketball player. And it's just, I mean, it's such a team to beat. That's why I was so scared when they were, like, about to lose to Chicago. I was like, no way. They're a bigger team than this.
Right? You're now, like, granted, it can't end like that.
It was, like, kind of a miracle situation, but they still made it work. And I don't know if you saw, but James Harden was on the sideline, and he was, like, caught on camera making these crazy faces at Hamby because, no, he made a face at Hamby, and he also made a face at Kelsey Plum for hitting that buzzer beater in the third quarter. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean,
because those are important shots to make. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, they were important shots, but it's just like they don't happen enough, and it just made it even crazier.
Yeah, it kind of shows. You know, yeah, exactly. And the fact that James Harden is kind of like paying his like respect is because it's a hard shot to make. Not a lot of people can make it, and so it's like it's actually it's like very surreal what you're watching, and it's like on top of just, you know, them being women already and having to face all these kind of stuff happen outside and, like, you know, always having to kind of support and explain their opinion and why they play basketball and how it's like a difficult sport, period. And to have players like Harden and other players be on the sideline and go watch them play and then give them the respect is because it's hard to do. If I could never play basketball. Let's just leave it like that. But I digress.
And that was just only the elimination game. Exactly. That we covered. So now they're in the semifinals versus the Mystic, and which I think had a very controversial ending. It was a good game, but you could see that the Aces definitely got outplayed. They got outplayed that time.
Yes.
And you know, Ella Delladon, she had 24 points. She's a just fantastic player on the floor.
I love her.
She's just a beast, and she's so humble. And then you have Wilson, you know, she had 23 points. Cambridge had 19. Kayla McBride had 19. So it's just kind of like, yes, they were so highly competitive against each other. It's like the numbers are almost even, but the Mystics had just that much of an edge because Ella Delladon, she made that clutch shot after two shot clock violations. And it's kind of like they have cannons on their team too.
Yeah. I mean, from what I kind of, when I saw the game, what I kind of got from it was that, you know, both teams came out strong. I feel like the Aces came out stronger in the first half, but it was kind of towards the second half when the Mystics, I think they kind of regrouped and they were like, well, we can't let the Aces come and just do whatever they want. And I feel like towards the second half is where we kind of see like the lack of attention to the game. And it's not even that. It's just like some of the shots were not even going in. So you can't even blame them for that. But I mean, although the Aces were able to bring, you know, their deficit down by just one basket, I feel like they didn't adapt quickly to the Mystics, and we got that crazy situation at the end of the game that, I mean, it's like poor officiating throughout. I mean, every sport has it, and of course, it has to be in the most important games.
But I mean, that I feel like basketball, it's harder to not make a call because it's this court is but so big. There's three refs, you know, sometimes four. Sometimes there's people watching from the booth, and nobody called the foul. Like, and you could clearly see that, you know, they played it back like several times on television, and there was like at least 2.2 seconds left. And that's time.
Oh,
that's
that is
time. Time is everything in basketball. Everything.
Yeah, I so think I even heard after that the coach was like, he was calling timeout, and they didn't even listen to that, so that just adds another thing.
Yeah.
And it's just like, why? And it's like, and it sucks, because it's like, it comes down to the game. What I'm glad is that it wasn't an elimination game where this happened in, because I am pretty sure if we're already mad right now, I would have been so mad.
Yeah, so upset. So upset. But yeah, I mean, that's how it ended. So I think we have a lot to look forward to in these next few days, see where it goes. I don't think anybody's going to sweep anybody, honestly, at this point.
I agree.
Maybe if somebody goes down 0-2, then possible sweep has happened. It's possible sweep is, you know, possible to happen. But, yeah, so besides the women, besides the WNBA, we have USA basketball that ended not in a, you know, fabulous way, but it came to a close.
Yes, I think Team USA finished in seventh place, and that's the worst placing in the 69 years history of the FIBA World Cup, just to make it dramatic, you know. And not one of their players,
I mean, it is pretty bad.
And not one Team USA player made it onto FIBA's all World Cup team, kind of like a all-star kind of team.
I didn't even know that. Yeah, that's so crazy.
So I found that more disappointing than anything. Or you didn't win as a group, fine, but that's like a you know, an individual goal, individual prize, and that didn't even happen for them. So I'm disappointed in that. But I mean, again, like we already talked about this in our last podcast, and we kind of just were talking about Team USA, that there wasn't really a star talent on the squad. And it's not to like backtalk any players that are already on the team. They're all really great. They're all really solid. But it's just like, to beat the other countries, you kind of needed one of them to step up and be the leader. And it just never really happened due to many, many circumstances. And it's not like it's their fault or trying to blame anybody. Yeah. They were just not good enough, period.
Yep. That's just how it happened. You know, they had a good, positive attitude when it all ended. You know, their last game was against Poland. At least they won it. And so that's a good memory to leave with, but everybody's hopeful. But I mean, even on the last game, they, like you said, they had no stars, and then the semi stars that they had, Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Kemba Walker, they sat out the last game, you know. So it's just kind of like everybody was over it. I feel like they did, you know, give it their best try. I think they did have positive hopes, no matter which is a very good mindset to have. But at the end of the day, you know, USA men's basketball is not the same as it used to be.
Good thing for you to divide that men's basketball. We will see when women play how that goes.
Exactly. You already know how the USA soccer season went. So let's see how basketball goes.
USA women's soccer.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like it's the worst thing in the world to finish in seventh place. Like, it's not. But I just think as Americans, we kind of got used to seeing USA always dominate, no matter like if it was the Olympics,
everything.
Yeah, or the FIBA World Cup. And kind of maybe we're kind of shocked that it just didn't happen this time. And it's just like, what? We're so used to winning. Yeah. But I mean, it's not the worst thing in the world.
It's not, but it's still, I mean, like you said, it reflects who we are as Americans. Like, we're just, you know, so used to just running over things and getting right to the top.
That's right? What? The world doesn't revolve around us?
I mean, that's just how it is. So, you know, and not to say that's going to be like this forever, but it's just our turn. But I know who's not sorry for them, all those other teams that were getting blown out. like one
karma.
Year straight.
Like, exactly.
I know they've been waiting for this day, waiting for this very day.
But I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be like this forever. There was a lot of crazy like factors that happened that led to the kind of squad and roster they had set up. You know, there was a lot of NBA season moves, late NBA season injuries on top of Team USA injuries. So there was like a lot going on. And then, you know, from my research I was doing, the actual time frame kind of doesn't work well with the NBA season. So it's like, it's all just mixed in together. And when you don't have, like I said, like those superstars, talents, or anybody's going to step up, you're going to finish in seventh or worse. But Team Spain didn't have that problem. They won the championship, and they had NBA players that included Marc Gasol, the Hernan Gomez brothers, and Ricky Rubio. So, did you watch the championship game?
I did not watch the championship game.
Oh my god, me neither.
Oh man, oh.
But I did some research.
And that's why we are here.
Exactly. So, from what I read, not from what I saw, I mean, Marc Gasol is going to probably kill this NBA season. He played really well. So I heard he played really well. He was very confident.
Rubio had 20 points in the final game. So.
Yes, 20 points. That's like a lot. And then I think a crazy stat was that Marc Gasol had 20 assists in 4 games. And for a center, for a center, I was like, wait, that's a really crazy stat. So it just kind of tells me that he likes where he's at with the Raptors. And maybe he's like happier, confident, and just like, I'm going to win. And hopefully this attitude goes on with the Raptors, because it would be fun to watch to see if he can like be the star for that team with Kyle Lowry. And, you know, and for Ricky Rubio, like you mentioned, I think he did really well. And now he's going to be playing for the Suns, Phoenix Suns. So I think that's going to look good too, because he did a really good performance. So the Suns should be happy. Booker should be happy.
I mean, hopefully we'll see. Like I said, you saw what happened last season. So.
Oh, Bronna.
I mean, the Sun, you know.
She said it, not me.
I really do hope better for them. I really do.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully they give some little, like, a good spark for the NBA season and what's to come. I don't know.
Exactly. But also, besides the FIBA World Cup, Steph Curry has verbally committed to the 2020 Olympics. He is the first athlete to do so.
So that's going to be interesting, because I think maybe they're going to be, now that you know, like, you know, Curry's committing, hopefully nothing happens and he stays committed. Will other people want to join? And when I mean other people, like, will other star players want to join? Or do you think it's different because it's like the Olympics and this is just the FIBA World Cup?
No, I think Steph Curry definitely changes all of that. I think it motivates, you know, at least in betweeners that were like, oh, kind of want to do it, don't really want to do it, to be like, yeah, I do want to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, Steph Curry's doing it. I want to do it. You know, if KD wasn't hurt, I'm sure he would do it. I wouldn't be surprised if LeBron joins in, you know, higher up names.
That would be interesting to watch. I would like to see that.
Yeah, I would like to too. So we'll see. We got a little bit of time, and then I mean, I totally forgot. Honestly, if I'm being honest, I forgot about the 2020 Olympics. I was like, wait, wow, 2020 is like
next
in like
year,
4 months.
Yeah,
like, whoa, where did this year go?
That's where I was going with my time frame research that I did, because it's like, it's crazy. There's like NBA season, and then it's like the FIBA, and then it's like a year after that you have to compete for the Olympics. So when do you get a break for like actual NBA players? Like the off season kind of turns into no off season in a sort of a way. So, I mean, you have to pick your battles and I guess pick the games and teams you want to be on. And Curry has picked his, which will be interesting to see who else commits.
Yeah. And I think, you know, sports also does play a bigger level, like, you know, besides our politics. Like, our politics looks like crap right now. We just look like we're losing all over. But, you know, for sports teams to get out and represent nations and they win, it gives us a little more morale boost, like yes. a little push.
Nothing will make me happier if Team USA wins next year.
Exactly. Like, I feel like when the U.S. women's soccer team won, like, yes. At least one out of three people I knew about that game, you know? Yeah. No idea about sports, but knew the U.S. women's soccer team won the World Cup. Yeah.
Or no matter, like, where their political affiliations lied, they were just like, did you see that win? And we were like, yes. Like, we can all just agree that they were really great, and that's that. So it brings us together.
All right, guys, that's all we have for today. Thank you guys for joining us, for listening to us, for keeping up with us, for bearing with us in our antics. And hope to see you next time on West Coast Mix and Bounce. I'm Bronna Marks.
And I'm Leslie Torres.
Bye, guys.